5 that it is a very specific chapter that is going to deal with the order of the church, the officers of the church, and the qualifications of those who serve in those areas. Now, I want to stress real quickly this morning, I did use the word qualifications. We live in a day and age where people don't like to be told that you have to qualify to serve in some different areas, aspects of the ministry. But I'm sorry to say this morning, well, I'm not sorry to say, that's the way God established it. There are qualifications that God has for the pastor and for the deacons and for the wives. And we'll look at that here in just a moment as well. But we meet here this morning in what we call the church. We spoke a little bit about it last Sunday. It's not necessarily the building. This building could be destroyed, but yet we're still going to have church. We can meet anywhere. We mentioned last Sunday, we can meet on the parking lot. We can meet out underneath a tree if we wanted to. We can meet out in the gym if we choose to. The building is not the church. We make up the church this morning. We are the church this morning. But then you have to ask yourself, what's the purpose of the church? You ever thought about what is the purpose of why we have what we term it church? And I'll use that word in that way. We know on Sundays we get up, we go to church on Sunday mornings. We know what time Sunday school will begin. We know what time the morning service will be, and then the evening service this evening as well, Lord willing. But we come, we meet together, and what is the purpose of why are we doing this? Anybody want to take a shot at it? It's not a trick question. In fact, when you think about it, it's many purposes of behind why we are here this morning. Somebody give me an idea. Why are we here? If you don't have an answer, my question is, why are you here? Huh? Now, don't say, well, I don't know why I'm here. It's just what my mom and dad made me do when I was little. I hadn't changed. And by the way, that's not always bad. I think moms and dads ought to train their children up in the house of God. Why are we here? What's that? To be fed. All right, fed from the Word of God. Very, very important. God. To worship God. Commanded to. All those are correct answers. Anybody else? Fellowship. We have fellowship together with one another. We share time together. We talk with one another. We laugh and talk about maybe the past week. We spend some time in prayer here. We share prayer requests here and make that known to everybody so that you in return can take those and pray for the needs that people have. What else? What else? Encouragement. Come here to get encouragement. We need a lot of encouragement. We live in a very discouraging world. We come to build up one another, come to be edified and to edify others. We come to give our tithes and offerings unto the Lord. Very important aspect of our life as well. Let me do this. Let's go back to the book of Ephesians. We find that Paul's the writer of Timothy. The letter is sent unto Timothy, and Paul is instructing him about the order of the church and how the structure of the church and how the church ought to operate and the officers of the church. And that's what we're going to deal with this morning. But if you can go back to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3, Paul also wrote the book of Ephesians unto the church at Ephesus, all right? So we have looked at this before, but in chapter 3, many people have mentioned that the purpose of the church is found in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21, where the Bible says, unto him be what? Glory in the what? In the church. One of the purposes of why we're here this morning is to do what? To give glory to God. Why should we give glory to God? Because, I mean, wow, we could be here for months trying to describe why we are to give glory to God. But in verse 21 of Ephesians 3, it says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout how many ages? All ages. The word all means the very day that you live right now. One of the purposes of why we come here this morning is to bring honor and glory to God. Now, how do we do that? How do you know when you're bringing glory unto God? Well, guess what? God's going to give you the answer to that as well. You see, God has it structured in such a way that a church operates in such a way that brings order and glory unto God. If you stray away from the plan and the path that God established, it doesn't bring glory unto God. You see, many churches this morning can be very selfish, and it can happen even here this morning, to where church is more about getting glory unto man. Man does not deserve glory this morning. Only God deserves the glory this morning. That's the purpose of one of the, if not the main purpose of why we assemble here this morning, is to bring glory unto God. But let's go back to Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm not going to go back and rehash a little bit of last week. Let's get right into our lesson this morning. To bring glory to God is accomplished by operating the church according to the pattern of the Word of God. There are a lot of things that we may do as a church, and the reason we do them is because we are instructed by the Word of God. In 1 Timothy here, chapter 3, it instructs us in sound doctrine and the qualified leadership of the church. And there are guidelines when it comes to the leadership of the church, and that's what we're going to get into this morning. Verse number 1, chapter 3 says, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a" what? A bishop. Now, if you'll look and you'll find if a man is talking about a male, not a female. All right? If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a what kind of a work? A good work, we find here. So as we get into this lesson this morning, and maybe I want to go back and lay a little bit more of a foundational bit, we're going to deal first of all with the pastor of the church, okay, or the pastor of any local New Testament church. You'll find here that the bishop is going to be, the meaning of bishop is one who provides oversight and oversees the work, right? That is going to be the pastor of the church. Now we know according to scriptures, two things are necessary for a man to become the pastor of a church. Number one, we all know from according to scripture, he must be number one called of God. It's a calling that is placed upon his life. Brother Richardson mentioned that a few weeks ago about it's a calling. We believe that, that a missionary, he may speak a little bit about how God called him. Now, his cell phone didn't ring one day, and he says, hello, and the person says, this is God, and I want you to be a missionary to the Dominican Republic. That's not how it works, but he may explain a little bit how God worked upon his heart and how God led him and how God called him to be a missionary under the Dominican Republic. Now, if he's not called of God, he's never going to make it. It takes a special person to be a missionary. It takes a special person that's willing to go to the Dominican Republic. And has anybody else ever been to the Dominican Republic? Anybody? Nobody else? Have you been there personally? Okay. All right. It has a few resorts that is totally opposite of what the Dominican Republic is really. I mean, it's not the United States of America. The reason that this family will be going to the Dominican Republic. Now, I haven't heard their testimony yet, but I'm pretty sure they've been called of God, okay? And he may say, I'm called of God to go to the Dominican Republic. Brother Richardson, the pastor of our church, been pastor, I hate to ask again, how long you been here? 39 years, all right? So there was a time at least 39 years ago or further longer than that that God called him to be a pastor. Now, second of all, the next necessary, there's a calling that God places on a person or a man to be a pastor of a church. And then number two, that individual, that man must answer that call. So it's twofold. There's a calling, but there's also an answer. But we find here the bishop. He's going to be the one that's the overseer. He is the one that provides oversight of the work of God. He is the one that leads the church. Okay, that is the pastor. Y'all help me out this morning a little bit. The pastor leads the church. Okay? He's the one that makes the final decisions. He's the one that decides. He may take advice from people. He may ask the deacons of the church, I mean, you know, what do you think about this? And they may give advice unto him. They may give their opinion on something. But when it all comes down to it, he has to make the final decision. That's why he gets paid the big bucks here. Right? He's the pastor. And I've said this many times, everybody ought to pastor a church at least for a week. You know, it'd change your life. You know, people say, boy, I wished I was a pastor. I wished you were a pastor too for a little while. Let you fight those battles and deal with people and problems and struggles. It's an enormous undertaking. But the pastor, he not only leads the church, he feeds the church. He feeds the flock of the church. He is the shepherd, if you would, of the flock. And that would be us, okay? We are the flock. He is the shepherd of the church. Does everybody understand that? Boy, you get into some churches that people don't like to be told that the pastor's the leader. He's the overseer. He's the one that feeds the flock. He's the one that shepherds the flock. He's the one that leads the flock. And sometimes churches, we have to be reminded that he is the leader. Hello? Anybody here this morning? And you'll find here, let's jump right into verse number 2. A bishop then, what's that next word? Then what? What's that next word? Must. You need to underline that. What the Word of God is telling us here is not optional. There's a lot of churches this morning that will go through all these guidelines and they're optional. Does the Bible say these are optional? It says they are a what? A must. It means if you can't fall in line here, you don't qualify. Right? Society today don't want to be told that. There's churches today that anything goes in a person's life. Am I reading this correctly in verse number 2? A bishop then must, is that what it says? He must, and then here we go, be blameless. Now, you're going to find here that now you're going to get into all these different words that are going to describe what the pastor should be. Okay, so it is a must. They are not optional. They are a must, right? And the first one we're going to find here is blameless. What does that mean? It means that the person who seeks the office of a bishop or he seeks to be the pastor of a church, he must be blameless. That means, by the way, it doesn't say sinless. Okay? We have to understand that pastors of any church are just as human as anybody else in the church. But there are qualifications that this person must be governed by in order to be qualified to be the pastor of a church. Okay? All right, so he's got to be blameless. What does that mean? It means to be above reproach. That deals with his lifestyle, if you would. Blameless is actually going to be clarified. For instance, it says right here, verse number 1, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, right? And I believe now it's going to start describing unto you here in verse number 2 here, blameless is actually going to be clarified by all these following verses. That's my personal opinion. Because if you just leave it as blameless, I mean, it kind of leaves it kind of the door kind of wide open. What does that mean? Well, God's going to clarify it for us here. All right. He goes on here and he says in verse number 2, a bishop then, he must be blameless, the husband of one wife. You talking about a huge debate nowadays over this one issue. Now, I believe the Word of God to be true this morning. Right? I believe the Word of God means what it says this morning. Now we're going to get into the critiquing a little bit of, okay, well, what does that mean? And I'm going to give you, let's see here, I jotted down 1, 2, 3, 4, I jotted down 5 opinions that churches hold today, okay? I'm not saying that number 1's right, number 5's wrong. I'm just going to give you some opinions that churches have of what does it mean when the Bible says that he is to be, does it say here, you help me out a little bit this morning, is he to be the husband of one wife? Is that what it says? This is yes, this is no. It's yes, all right? Husband of one wife. Now, English was not my best subject, Brother Yandel, I can tell you right now. I did not like English. I didn't like literature. I didn't like spelling. I didn't like anything that had to do with words. But when it says the husband of one wife, does that not indicate that it's a man? Is that what husband, would you kind of, I mean, you're an English professor here at our college. Is husband a man? That's what it meant. Okay. All right. Now don't weasel out on me. You got to stay. Don't kind of leave the door open here. The husband of one wife, does that not mean that it's a man? Now, you go back to verse number one, he's talking about a man, which number one, we'll go ahead and establish, it rules out women pastoring a church, period. Right? Okay, all right, so we got that all established, all right? So we find here, he's to be the husband of one wife, huge debate for years, and it's not something that's just been debated in the past week. I mean, this has been debated for years and years and years. Here's some opinions that churches have. I went and actually looked some up and so forth. All right, here's, it means this. Some believe that it means the pastor must be married, that he is not qualified to pastor a church if he is not a husband. Okay, now, and I'm not saying what's right and wrong. You can form your own opinion here, and if you want my personal opinion, I can give it to you. But some churches believe that all the Bible is saying here is that he's got to be the husband of a wife. Now, if that be true, and if you hold that view this morning, then he also is going to have children, because it's in a little bit you're going to find out he's got to be able to rule his children well. So if you use the same view that he's got to be married, then he's also got to have children, because it's going to speak about how he's got to have rulers, he's got to be able to rule his own children. You understand that? But anyway, that's the opinion of some church. Some churches believe that the pastor must be married. Number two, another opinion is the pastor is to be married to the church. That is a Catholic belief this morning. Catholics believe that the priest, if you would, of the church and so forth, that the Bible is describing here, that it's not being married to a woman, but he's got to be married to the church. Well, you know, there's a lot of holes in that. I will remember back years ago when I was a candidate at a church that I did pastor and so forth, we had a deacon there, and one of the questions he asked me, are you willing to marry the church? I said, no, sir, I'm not marrying a church. I'm married to my wife. And people come up with some strange ideas about I'm getting off track here. Let me get back to it a little bit. Some believe that when Paul is writing here, that he is saying that you are to be willing to be married to the church, because he's writing a letter to the church. All right, so, and that's more of a kind of a Catholic kind of a doctrine that's believed by many. But anyway, number three, another idea. The pastor cannot be married to more than one wife at the same time. Now, he may have been married five times, but as long as he's married to one woman at that time, he's okay. Okay? Church, by the way, you would be amazed how many churches are okay with that. I mean, I could list some well-known men that if I mentioned a few names that are well-known nationally. I'm thinking about one right now. I've been married four times. You know, I don't know. I just have a hard time understanding what in the world's going on in that guy's life. He's been married four times. I remember years ago, Bob Jones, who was the founder of Bob Jones University years ago, he was at a meeting one night, and the man said, I need to talk to you about really desperate. I need to see you after the service tonight. He had some marriage problems and so forth, and he went to Bob Jones Sr., and he wanted to divorce his wife. And Bob Jones Sr. said, you can't divorce her. And the man replied back to Bob Jones Sr., have you not ever thought about divorcing your wife? I mean, it's never entered your mind that you want to divorce her? He said, never in my life I ever thought about divorcing my wife. He said, now I've thought about killing her many times, but not divorcing her. So that's a pretty good answer. But there are churches that believe that pastors cannot be married to more than one wife at the same time. Number four, there are some beliefs that the pastor can have only one wife in his lifetime. Okay? For instance, a man maybe gets married, pastors a church, something, let's say, tragically happens to his wife and she passes away. Some churches believe that man cannot remarry. He has to be the husband of one wife. All right? Number five, the fifth belief is the pastor cannot be divorced, which is a very probably, I guess, the most common belief that churches have today, or I guess, I don't know how common it is anymore, but we do go back here in verse number 2. The Bible says, the bishop then must be blameless. There's a comma. It's a must. I think the few verses after that's going to tell you what it means to be blameless. He's to be the husband of one wife. Okay? Whether we like it or not, that is a qualification of a pastor. Now, what's sad, there are at times men that maybe want to be a pastor or a deacon, and maybe they don't qualify according to Scripture, so they'll just leave one church and go to nothing because they're okay with it. I've had people tell me before, churches that are really struggling, maybe it's in a country setting, or maybe it's hard to find someone that would come pastor that church, instead of going by the guidelines, and they'll even say, you know, if we go by those guidelines, we'll never have anybody want to come pastor here. It doesn't matter what we think this morning. The only thing that matters is what does God say? And we find here he's to be the husband of one wife, right? We'll move on. I've got to move quickly this morning. A lot of words to kind of mention here. Vigilant, he says here next. He must be vigilant. It means he needs to be alert, needs to be watchful. He needs to have a clear head. He needs to have a good understanding, be vigilant, if you would. He also mentions here in verse number 2 that he is to be sober, which means he's to be sound-minded. He needs to be mentally capable of thinking straight. So that's kind of silly. What he's doing, he's keeping all the nut jobs out of pastoring the church. You got to be vigilant. You got to be sober. You got to be sound-minded. You got to be watchful. You got to be alert. You got to be capable of thinking straight. You got to have all your faculties together, so to speak, okay? He also says in verse number 2, of good behavior. One of the qualifications of a pastor, he's got to be the husband of one wife. He's got to be somebody that's vigilant. He's got to be someone that's sober. He's got to be someone who is of good behavior. He also is, a qualification here, is to be given to hospitality. A little something different there. What does that mean? It means he's got to have a love for strangers. He's got to be, as it mentions, he's got to be given to hospitality. He's got to love people. He's got to enjoy people. He's got to be able to meet people and greet people and love people, and even people that are strangers. He's got to have that ability to be able to connect with them, if you would. And then it says, lastly, in verse number 2, he's got to be out to teach. He's got to be able to teach. Why? Because that's one of his, I don't like to use the word job, but that's part of his ministry. He's got to be able to teach the Word of God. He's going to have a difficult time pastoring the church if he can't feed the church. If a man can't feed the church, guess what's happened? Guess what's going to happen to the church if he can't feed the church? They're going to what? You're going to do what? Come on now. If you don't get something to eat in the next 3 days, you're going to what? You're going to starve. You're going to get hungry. You're going to starve, and eventually you're going to die. So that's why a pastor's got to be able to feed the flock. He's got to be able to be out to teach. And what does that mean? It means he's able to teach the Word of God. Verse number 3, not given to what? Help me out. Not given to what? Wine. Now, I'm not going to sit here and debate to you this morning about what does that mean, what's wine, what's not wine, what's alcoholic, what's not, what's intoxicating, what's not, what's addictive. I'm not going to do all that this morning. Does it say here, not given to wine? Is that what it says? Yes or no? Yes. What is that? That's a qualification. Now listen to me. If a man who desires, as the chapter begins here, and he desires to be a pastor, that's a good thing. It's a good work. But in order to lead the church, to be the pastor of the church, it's not saying that you can't be a member of the church. It doesn't say you can't do a lot of things in the church. But if you want to pastor the church, here's the qualifications that is placed upon that man. Right? All of these are qualifications. You have to qualify to be able to accept the pastorate of that church and to be the office of that bishop in a church, if you would. All right. Let's see here. Where am I at? I'm in verse number 3. Not given to wine. Know what? What's the next word? All right, what does that mean? It means he can't be quarrelsome. He needs to be able to react calmly. To be honest with you, this might be one of my harder. I mean, it's easy sometimes to react in a way that is a little aggressive, and as a pastor, you can't be that way. A pastor is going to deal with about every problem that's in society. Did you realize that? I mean, every sin, every problem that's in society is going to be involved in the lives of the flock of the church, and the pastor's got to be able to deal with that. And sometimes, I'm sure this has never happened to Brother Richardson, but he may make a decision sometime. There's going to be somebody in the church that doesn't like that decision. And they kind of may react in a worldly way towards the pastor, but the pastor's got to be able to react in a proper manner. Okay, it's not that he can't stand up for himself and defend himself, but he can't be a striker. He can't be somebody that's quarrelsome. He can't be somebody that's always stirring the pot and creating problems. He's got to be able to actually react calmly to all the problems that are going to come his way, and there's going to be a slew of them come his way. Let's go on here, verse number 3. Not given to wine, no striker, not given to what? What is it? Filthy? What's that next word? Luke. Brother Richard, are you filthy rich? You're not. Okay. All right. A pastor, what's the Word of God saying? The Word of God is basically saying that a man should not desire the office of a bishop if he's going in it for the money. Now, I'm going to flip that a little bit. I do know of some churches, they go to the extreme of this, and they make sure he's not going to be guilty of it. Right? See, a lot of churches more say, well, the pastor ought to live on faith. Right? He's a man of God. He ought to be able to pray and get whatever he needs. We shouldn't even have to pay the pastor. He should be so close to God and so connected to God, he could just pray for $1,000 and God just send it in the mailbox. That's silly, but that's the way a lot of churches believe this morning. And I'm afraid sometimes people will take this to an extreme, and we've got churches that have people inside it, whether it be deacons, deacon boards, church members, or whatever, and they take that. Boy, they'd love that. They'll make sure he doesn't get rich. They'll make sure he's a poor. And that's wrong too. But a pastor should never go into pastoring a church with a desire to make a lot of money. Now, if a church wants to pay us a lofty salary to the pastor, that's between the pastor and the church. I don't know where there's a limit. I don't know that God says you can only pay the pastor so many dollars a week or so many dollars a year. There's not a guideline on how much you pay the pastor, but it's not talking about the church here. It's talking about the man seeking the office of a bishop here and how that he shouldn't go into it seeking to be filthy rich. Were you the one that sent something? My wife showed me a picture the other day of the house Billy Graham lived in and the house that Joel Osteen lives in. Woo! Now, I don't know what filthy lucre is, but boy, I looked at that man's house and I'm thinking that's filthy lucre right there. I mean, that's woo, wow. There's nothing wrong with paying the pastor a good amount. There's nothing wrong with the church giving a pastor a bonus. It's nothing wrong with the church paying for him to go on a vacation or go on a missions trip or just say, we love you, here's an extra whatever amount of money. There's no set limit on how much you pay the pastor, but the man that's seeking the office of a bishop should not be going into it thinking he's going to make a whole lot of money, and that shouldn't be the purpose of why he's getting into it. Okay? Number 3 here, all right? It says, greedy of filthy lucre, but what? Patient. Patient. I don't want to spend a lot of time. That's one thing I struggle with. I'm in this new society. We want our food. We want it now. That's why we have fast food restaurants. That's why we have drive-thrus. We have, if you don't want to get out of your car, you can go to Sonic and still stay sitting in your seat, and we'll bring the food to you however you want it. But boy, to be a pastor of a church, you got to be patient. You got to be patient with people. Did you hear me this morning? You've got to be patient with people. We shouldn't expect people just to get saved and just fall right in line with the Word of God in every aspect of their life. If a pastor's going to make it, he's going to have to be patient. A lot could be said there as well. Also, he's not to be a what? A brawler. The opposite of that is he ought to be peaceable. That's what the pastor ought to be. He ought to be someone who conducts peace and tries to make peace among people in the flock and in the church. Then he goes on, not covetousness here as well, which means the lover of money, the lover of silver and gold. He ought not be that kind of a person. Then it goes on, and verse number 4, one that ruleth well his own house. Okay? Now, if I read that correctly, does that mean that the pastor should be the leader of his household? Sure it does. Now, we could go back to last week's lesson as well, where the Bible instructs that in the household, the man is to be the leader of the household. Not one of you rascals, amen me there. You're sorry, rascals, this morning. Not anybody help me out right there. The man, the husband, he's to be the leader of the home. Okay? And by the way, leader and dictator are two different things this morning. He's not to be the dictator. You lead your home. Now, one of the qualifications of the one that's desiring the office of a bishop, he's got to be one, according to verse number 4, that ruleth well his own house. Okay? And then it says, having his children in subjection with all gravity. So we find here that he also should be a ruler a leader of his household and of his children here. His children ought to be in subjection. All right, let me ask you something. What do you think it means when, let me go back here. Does the Bible say in verse number 4 that he ought to rule well his own house, having his children in what? Y'all say it with me. He is to have his children in what? Subjection. What do you think that means? What's that?
Obey.
Obey. Is that even a word today? Is that obey? You expect the children to obey mom and dad? Listen, we live in a society where moms and dads are obeying their children. If their child wants something, they go get it. If they don't have the money, just whip out that plastic car, that plastic money, we'll get it. Why? Because Bobby wants it. Listen. Nowhere in the Word of God will you ever find that a child should rule the house. I am amazed. I'm talking about Christian families where their children dictate everything they do. Man, fathers ought to rule their house and lead their homes, if you would, and be a leader in that home, and children should be in subjection with all gravity in verse number 4. Verse number 5, it continues on, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the what? The church. Right? What is being said here is, if a man can't even control his own house, he has no business pastoring a church where you got multiple people inside of it. Right? Doesn't mean he's perfect. But he does have to have control of his household. Let me see here. I'm in verse number 5. Let's see. Verse number 6, not a novice. It means someone with no experience. It means he needs to have an understanding. Lest he being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. You'll find let's see here. Let me go back here. Verse number 7. Moreover, he must have a what? A good report of them which are what? Without. It's talking about people that are on the outside of the church. He ought to have a good report even when it comes in society. In the community that surrounds the area of the church, he ought to have a good report. Among those that the Bible says here that are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. All right, so you find, beginning in verse number 1, this is a man who desires the office of a bishop, which is going to be the pastor, the leader, the overseer, the feeder of the flock, the guide, the leader of the church. And then you have all these qualifications that are put upon him. And then you get to verse number 8, it says, likewise must the what? The deacons. They are qualifications of a deacon. Okay? You'll find in verse number 8 here, likewise must the deacons be what? Grave. Right? And it doesn't say gray, it's grave. Somebody say, well, they got to be gray-headed. Not exactly what that means, okay? And by the way, let me say this real quickly. The word deacon means a servant. Y'all going to help me a little bit here, I hope, okay? Nowhere in the Word of God do you find that the deacon runs the church. You know who runs the church or leads the church and guides the church? It's the deacon. It's the pastor. Not the deacon. There's a lot of churches that are what we call deacon board led. It's run by the board of deacons of the church. It's not scriptural. You study the word deacon, it means to be a servant, to have a servant's heart. But it says here, likewise, and by the way, the Word of God is going to put qualifications on the deacon. It's going to put qualifications on his wife, too. Okay? Everybody okay with me so far? All right. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not, what's the next word? Double-tongued. What is that? That's a good name for a politician. I shouldn't say that. Double-tongued. What is that? It's to say one thing to one person, turn around, and answer the same question. He tells something totally different to the next person. You ever heard the old saying, he can talk out of both sides of his mouth? Basically saying, I can say what this crowd over here wants to hear, in the same sentence, I can say what this crowd over here wants to hear, or say what they want to hear over here. What is that? That's double tongue. All right? Everybody got that? Now listen, it's not talking about a politician, it's talking about a deacon in the church. Right? I think a deacon ought to be able to speak the truth no matter whoever's asking the question. You can't live in the office of a deacon and try to satisfy what everybody wants to hear. The best way to answer anything as a deacon in a church is you just tell the truth. All right? We'll move on here. Let's see verse number 8. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine. All right? Now, I've had people say, well, the pastor can't drink. The deacon can drink. He just can't drink a whole lot. A lot of debate over what this, what does it mean? I mean, what does it mean, not much wine? That means he can drink a little wine, but the pastor can't, he can't drink any wine? I mean, what are we doing here? What's it talking about here? Big debate over this as well. Now, I will say this. I've tried my best not to put my opinion on everything because I want you to form your own opinion around what the Word of God says. And sometimes you have to understand as a teacher, I'm going to teach things sometimes that maybe I believe or maybe the way I look at it, okay? And I'm not saying that's always right, okay? I will say this morning, when it comes to a lot of areas that society calls it a little gray area where we're not quite sure, I always side on being a little more extreme. I'd rather be a lot more extreme, be careful, than to go the opposite direction and be a lot more liberal about it. Does that make sense? Most churches today have gone over to the more liberal side of everything. Well, you know, I'm not quite sure. You know, and by the way, that was written a long time ago when mankind and men were married and they had four or five wives and so forth. And, you know, that marriage thing really doesn't apply to today. And they'll go way over here to the left. Now, I've just always, and I guess it's because the way I was raised a little bit, we always kind of sided a little bit more on extreme caution. Okay? Now, with that being said, I try not to, like I say, I'm trying not to give you too much of what maybe my opinion may be. I don't have a problem telling you my opinion, but in this setting right here, I want you to form your own opinion. And sometimes when you read something, you say, man, I'm not quite sure what that means. Guess what? Just study the Word of God. You'll be amazed at how much the Word of God will very plainly explain what it's talking about. Where'd I end up? I can't keep up with where I'm at. Where am I at? Y'all help me out. Verse number 8, likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine. And guess what? We're going to make sure you're not rich too. Huh? What's it say? What's that last little phrase? Not greedy of what? Right? Now, you have to understand we're talking about the office of deacon. By the way, a deacon should be someone that's not in it for the money. But Tom, you a deacon here? How much do you get paid? Yeah, how much do you get paid? By the way, I think a deacon ought to be somebody that's trustworthy when it comes to money. Right? Financial matters. Deacons ought to be honest in the financial matters of the church and in their personal life. Okay? But we'll find here, filthy lucre, verse number 9, basically holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, basically meaning that he ought to be doctrinally straight and doctrinally right in his life. Let me think, I've left something out here a little bit. Okay, where did I just end up? I'm having a hard time keeping up with where I'm at this morning. I just read verse number 9. Verse number 10. And let these also first be proved, and let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Okay? Talking about the description of what a deacon ought to be. All right? And by the way, a church ought to examine an individual before that person is elected as a deacon. Right? You'll find also in verse number 11, even so must their what? Their wives. All right, now, if we go, we find here, it says, verse number 11 says, even so must their wives be grave, okay? Now, if it mentions here in verse number 11 that the now gives the qualification of the wife, then I'm to believe in verse number 8 when it says the office of the deacon, that's a man. Are y'all with me this morning? It's a man. Oh, my. You would be amazed today how many churches have deacons that are women nowadays. They're everywhere. I'm thinking of 4 or 5 right now. I know some people this morning that are members of a church in this community that's a deacon in the church. Deaconess. But you'll find right here in verse number 11, now it's given the qualification of the wife of the what? Of the deacon. Okay? So here it goes, verse number 11. Not what? Slanderous, all right? Not slanderous, if you would. Then it goes on and says to be what? Sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands. Now, Brother Yandel, is husbands, is that male? In the English language, it is, right? It's a man. And he's be the husband of what? One wife. Now we're back to that old debate about what does that mean. Say, well, what do you think? Here's what I think. I think he ought to be the husband of one wife. So what does that mean? I think he ought to be the husband of one wife. Okay, well, explain it. He ought to be the husband of one wife. You know, isn't it amazing how twisted society can make the Word of God? I mean, you know, to be honest with you, when you read through this list, and there's a few words that maybe we're not as accustomed to seeing in society today, and you may have to kind of study those words a few here and there, but most everything you find in this scripture right here, it's easy to understand. So we find in verse number 12 that he is to be the husband of one wife. Also, verse number 12, ruling their children and their own houses well. All right? You'll find in verse number 12 that, and by the way, you'll find a lot of the qualifications of a deacon fall right in line of what the qualification of a pastor is going to be. My time is out. Let me go on here. Verse number 13, for they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. I believe that there are rewards that God gives to people or men who serve in the office of a deacon. Okay? It's a good thing. It's a good work, as the Bible describes, as being the pastor, the bishop of a church and so forth. That's a good work. But you do have qualifications that the Word of God, Scripture, places upon the office of the pastor, the deacon, the deacon's wife. Now, some people say, well, yeah, if they let the pastor's wife out. I believe if it qualifies for the deacon's wife, then I think it also qualifies for the pastor's wife. Qualifications that they are to meet. Let's pray. My time's out. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for the Word of God. And God, we do pray that you'll help us to be doctrinally sound according to the Scriptures that you give unto us. Lord, may you go with us this week. May you guide, lead, and direct. Help us to do our part. Help us to do your will. And Lord, I pray for your blessings upon each and every person. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.